The text is the gospel reading from Luke 12. Jesus says, "I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. You think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Here ends the text. What a tough text. Jesus says plainly, "I have come to bring a fire on earth." Then he asks, "You think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be divisions in the most basic of human relationships." Good thing he goes on to speak of a baptism that burns. Thankfully, our baptism does not. Oh, the water temperature might not be right for the baby, but our baptism doesn't burn. It's not something painful in our memories. Actually, it's something joyful to remember. Why? Because of what baptism gives. Baptism gives the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 says, "Be baptized for the remission of sins." Acts 22 says, "Be baptized and wash away your sins." Baptism doesn't burn or scar. It washes and forgives. It cleans dirty consciences, according to 1 Peter. You all know people who are troubled by their sins in some way. They can't get beyond a moral failing, a horrible deed, a burst of passion. What a blessing, therefore, that God has provided baptism which is able to put out a conscience burning with guilt. 1 Peter 3 assures us, baptism now saves us by guaranteeing us a good conscience before God. The waters of baptism are able to put out fires in consciences sparked by sins done long ago or just yesterday. Our baptism does not burn, it forgives, and it rescues from death and the devil. You all know people who are haunted by a fear of death and the devil. These two are rightly linked in our minds because Hebrews 2 says that the devil is the one who has the power over the death that enslaves people because they are afraid of dying. Baptism delivers us from death and the devil. Neither of them has any control over us in baptism. Why? Because baptism joins us to Christ according to Romans 6. He went to death on the cross. We were crucified with him, says St. Paul. He was raised on the third day in baptism. We were raised with him, and now we walk about in a new life. Once Christ was raised from the dead, did he have any more confrontations with the devil? Nope. Could death touch him any longer? Nope. Your baptism likewise places you out of reach of death and the devil. Our baptism puts out fires, not starts them. We're not burned by baptism, but forgiven, rescued, and saved by baptism. You all know people who are worried about their salvation. The thought constantly comes back to them, "How do I know I'm really saved?" They search their lives for evidence in their behavior that they're really saved. They search their hearts, and they find only faltering faith and disturbing doubts about religious questions. Where can the certainty of salvation be found? In baptism. 1 Peter 3 clearly says, "Baptism doth also now save us." Titus 3 says just as clearly, "God saved us through the washing of rebirth." Baptism is God's act, it's not ours. Certainty of salvation can only be found in what God does, not in what we do. Everything else, everything that we do, is doubtful. In your baptism, God reached down in those waters and took you right then and there all the way into heaven. Think about it. What else does it mean to be baptized into the name of the triune God? Those waters placed you into the family of God, of the God of heaven. The flames of hell can only reach you if they can reach all the way to heaven itself. Our baptisms don't burn. In fact, our baptisms defend us from a burning conscience, from the flaming darts of the devil, and from the flames of hell. But Christ's baptism did burn. He says in our text, I have a baptism to undergo, and how I am distressed until it is completed. It was the opposite for Jesus as it is for us. Whenever he thought of his baptism, sorrow gripped him. Hear Jesus' thoughts and lamentations. Look and see if there's any pain like the pain that the Lord has caused me to suffer. He sent fire from above. He made it go deep into my bones. While you were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Christ was baptized in the Jordan to be given your sins. While you were rescued by baptism from death and the devil, Christ was delivered by his baptism to death and the devil. The devil attacked Christ right after his baptism. On Thursday night, Christ said, "It's the devil's hour." And where baptism gives us certainty of salvation, Christ's baptism assured him that the gates of hell would get a hold of him, that the fiery judgment of God would roast him. Our baptisms are mere images of Christ. His burns, ours soothes. His delivered him to death and the devil. Ours rescues us from death and the devil. His damned, ours saves. And our baptism does what it does because his baptism did what it did. Or, as Isaiah says it simply, by his wounds we are healed. Because he suffered and died, we are relieved and alive. But there's one qualification. 1 John 4 says, while we are in the world, we are exactly like him. That means the burning, the distress, and the division that Jesus knew in this world, we too will experience. The first part of this sermon assured you that there's no payment for sin in any of the suffering that you will undergo in this world. Your baptism into Christ washes sin out of the pictures and joins you to him. However, being joined to him means you go where he goes. And he goes to war in this world. Jesus plainly says, from now on, there will be division. The division originates with Jesus. Like a mountain, everyone is on one side or the other of Jesus from now on to the very end of the world. That means that having been baptized into Christ, we must give up any idea of having peace in this world, even in our own families. Christ brings division into the closest human relationships. Abel and his brother Cain were on different sides of Jesus. Lot and his wife were on different sides of Jesus. David and his son Absalom were on different sides of Jesus. Even Paul and Peter, for a while, were on different sides of Jesus. In Jesus, we have no peace in this world because the world and those in fellowship with it will not let us. Christ promises, because the world hated him, it will hate those he chooses out of the world. And because the world didn't listen to his words, it is not going to listen to ours. By baptism, we have Christ, which means we do have a world without end. But it also means we have no peace in this world. In Christ, we can make no peace with this world. Christ will not let us. We are under orders to teach everything he commanded us, not just those things that the world can agree with. The Romans persecuted Christians because the Christians would not tolerate what was contrary to the word of Christ. It wasn't that Rome asked Christians to teach falsely. They were simply asked to allow the false teaching of others. This, those in Christ can't do. Being joined to him in baptism, they can only think what he thinks and speak what he says. This means the world is going to oppose them. But you know what? This opposition from sinful men, as our epistle lesson calls it, happens with the blessing of God. It's a way that God makes sure we won't make peace with this fallen world. You know how it is when you try to sleep in a bed that you just can't get comfortable in? You toss and you turn and you toss some more, and finally you get so frustrated you jump out of bed, fed up with trying. Our Lord makes life in this fallen world difficult for his baptized children so they won't be able to lie down and go to sleep in it. He disciplines us. He whips us, literally, just so we won't get comfortable in this world. Because woe to us if we do get comfortable. Then we're lots in Sodom, but our righteous soul is no longer vexed by it. Then we're Christ in the midst of a perverted generation, but we're no longer wondering how much longer we have to endure it. Then we're no longer looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. No, we're rather quite happy with the city we found here. The Lord doesn't want that to happen to His baptized children. So He plagues them in this fallen world. He gives them heartaches and headaches, so they long for a world other than this. He allows death to shorten lives in this world so that we ache for a life that does not end. He corrects and spanks His children when they become involved in the sins of the world, just so they won't be damned with it. As Christ was uncomfortable in this world, so are we going to be. But as Christ overcame this world, so do we in Him. He told us on the night He was betrayed, "In the world you have sorrow, but be overjoyed. I have overcome the world." By baptism, the very baptism that plunges us into the same hot water that Christ experiences in this world, we are joined to Christ and so overcome the world even as He did. On the last day, when Christ visibly triumphs over the world, it will burn up. Joined to Him by baptism, we will triumph with Him rather than being burned up with the world. In baptism, we are safe from the fiery judgment which Christ will bring upon the world because our baptism has separated us from it. Even now, says Jesus, the dividing is going on. The world despairs over division, but Jesus' dividing is not pointless. He is beginning now what He's going to finish on the last day. And thankfully, He doesn't wait till the last day to show people which side they're on. Then it would be too late. As Lot, Noah, Abraham, and Israel clearly showed that there were two sides, so the Church of Christ is called to do so today. I told you this was a tough text, but put the load on Jesus and take heart that He said He was distressed until it is finished. That's what Jesus told us from the cross, isn't it? It is finished. His distress is over. Ours can be too in this way. As redeeming us from sin, death, and the devil, as baptizing us to forgive, rescue, and save us, as all of that belonged to Jesus, so too the dividing does. A great artist divides with color, perspective, shadow, and more to make wonderful art. How much more the Lord of artists and art can do with the divisions He makes. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.